if you look in the schedule for the conference, I'm scheduled this morning to speak on the strong delusion, how people are deceived, and so on. But I figure if Paul McGuire can change topics 8 times during one talk, I can change topics at least 1 time during the conference. So Paul's got a lot on his mind. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 while we wait for these good men to get our technology going. Hebrews chapter 11, they refer to it as the Faith Hall of Fame, all the people in the Bible who died in faith. And I know there was a lot more than that, but you have the list of people like it starts out. It's interesting to me that the first person mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 was raptured. That's what it says. Or actually, the second person. Abel's the first person. Enoch was the second one. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch is translated, I believe, in the translation. I talked about that last year. And then we have Jacob, and we have Abraham and Moses, and even Sarah. And then I want you to look in verse 31. We have Rahab, who was the harlot at Jericho, who believed the two witnesses. Think about that. You have two witnesses in your Bible, one Old Testament, one New Testament, Christ's first coming and his second coming. So she believed the word of God. She believed the warning that was given to her. And, you know, people ask me how much of the Bible is prophetic. And I would say all of it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says that the thing that hath been is the thing that shall be. Solomon saw all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. From the place they started, thither they return. And so he talks about cycles. And I believe that everything in human history has been cyclical. And the things that you see laid out in the Bible are things that are going to happen again. Paul said, these things were written for our admonition and our learning unto whom the ends of the world are come. So everything in the Bible you can look at and see that it is, I mean, I teach a lot on Bible typology. The shadows, the foreshadowing is a literary construct a lot of authors will use. They'll use foreshadowing, and the Bible is full of foreshadowing. So look in verse 32 of Hebrews 11. He says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. There's prophetic stories there. And of Barak, not Obama. Not much faith there, amen? And of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who is a lion in the Bible? Well, we have the lion of the tribe of Judah. We don't want his mouth stopped, but there's another lion. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we absolutely have that to deal with in our lives. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Who in here has a weakness? A spiritual one. Amen. Paul said that he would rather keep his infirmities so that God would be strong in him. 2 Corinthians 12. Waxed valiant in fight. And then notice this last statement. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, I believe that there is a double meaning in the scriptures on this. The Bible says, I want you to listen to this. An alien literally is someone who is alien to, I am alien to Fargo. I'm not from Fargo. So, in that sense, I would be alien from this area. And we are aliens on this earth. Why? Because our second birth, the land of our nativity, is not this earth. Our second birth was from heaven. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, he spoke of Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. Our land of birth, our second birth, was heaven. So all through the New Testament refers to us as aliens to this world here. We don't belong here. Somebody say amen. Especially if we get 20 more inches of snow. We don't want to belong here anymore. Okay? But we are alien to this place. So you go back through the Bible. Look at the word alien. What you're going to find is that it's related to the word strangers. And in the Bible sense, the Bible's connecting these two words. So then when you've studied all the words where alien is found, study all the verses where strangers are found. There is a strange woman mentioned in Proverbs. What is that? And I will tell you this. The number of things that I've seen from contactees, those who have been in contact with these alien, and I'm using the correct term, these alien entities, in many cases, they felt like they were dealing with a female, even though the alien itself did not present any sort of gender. You couldn't tell what gender it was by looking at it. Whitley Strieber, especially Whitley Strieber, who had multiple contacts. You know what he said? He said, remove the hair from Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Isis, and he said, that's who I was dealing with when he was dealing with these gray aliens. He always felt like the one that made contact with him was a woman. So to me, that's very interesting that there is a strange woman in the book of Proverbs. There's not much more that I can tell you about that because I have not had a chance to get into that study. But what I'm telling you is, I believe the scriptures. I believe prophetically. In the future, you and I, if we are alive and remaining unto that day, I think it's highly possible that we will put to flight the armies of the aliens. In that sense of the word, because Paul said we are already wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those entities that we're fighting against, they were not born in Nebraska or Missouri or Texas or China or any place like that. They were created from up there, and they do not belong here. What did Jude say concerning the angels that sinned? Jude said they left their first estate. Meaning their primary first estate was up there, and they left that, and they came down here, and they did not belong here. They literally are the sons of God, because that's what Job called the angels that are in heaven. So, we're fighting the angels. I'm going to continue a little bit in what I was talking about last night. The very first director, do we have a screen? Very good. Thank you for that, guys. The very first director of the CIA said this, unknown objects are operating under intelligent control. He knew it. He knew something was going on even all the way back 1946, 1947, 1948. He knew those things were going on. Now, I mentioned this yesterday. In the year 2000, medical doctor by the name of Stephen Greer. He's been working on this for probably some 20 years up until the year 2000. But he was working on what he called the Disclosure Project. He knew men that were in high places of the American government that had first-hand knowledge of aliens visiting this world, including the capture of wreckage and the discovery of alien bodies. So I mentioned to you last night that if you came this morning, I would tell you where that is in Scripture, and I am going to do my best to fulfill that promise. So as part of this Disclosure Project, if you go online, you go to YouTube, you can watch, just type in Disclosure Project, and this video will come up. Dr. Stephen Greer has an entire YouTube channel. And I would say that if any of this interests you, go to his YouTube channel. It's Serious Disclosure, S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius. That refers to the star Sirius. So he is trying to open up this whole idea that aliens are visiting this world and we want their technology. So he has all these speakers come up to the microphone. On his YouTube channel, they give a lot more information. They only had about 5 or 6 minutes there at the podium to present because they had other speakers. But then Dr. Greer sat down with each one of them and interviewed them separately, sometimes for 15 minutes, sometimes for as much as an hour. And they told the details of what they said. This particular gentleman, United States Air Force Sergeant Carl Wolf, worked in a top secret program, crypto clearance. He was working in a lab, and next to where he worked was a photo lab. He said working in photo recon with the U2 program processing film back in the 60s. He was sent to repair equipment. That's what he did. He went inside this lab. This equipment was associated with the NSA Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Now, let me ask a question. The National Security Administration is charged with the security of the United States of America. Why does the NSA need a lunar recon orbiter? I don't know. It's a good question. So what he said was the man who worked that lab while Sergeant Wolf was in there repairing some equipment, he said, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to show you some pictures. So he showed him photographs. And according to his testimony, now I cannot verify this, but I have a side story to tell you. According to his testimony, he saw a base on the surface of the moon. Geometric shapes. Nature does at times match geometry. Sometimes nature can make a circle, sometimes nature can make a square and something, but it doesn't do it very often. Towers, large structures. Now, he didn't happen to have any of the photographs. I don't have any photographs, and I want that known. Whoever is listening. Because, has anybody ever heard of Project Clementine? Does anybody know what that is? Back years ago, one of our government agencies, I don't know if it was NASA or somebody else, they sent an orbiter to the moon to do what satellites do as far as this world is concerned, to take very high resolution photographs of the moon. When I heard Sergeant Wolf's testimony, it reminded me of an incident that happened with me back around, I'm going to say 1994, 1995, we used to have a young man that went to our church, and he worked in a place selling mobile homes. And he came to me one time and he said, you need to talk to this guy I work with. He's a salesman there. And I said, why is that? He said, well, I'm going to let you talk to him, but he said, but you need to talk to him. Because apparently he got into something that got him into a lot of trouble. And I went, okay. So I went over to where they worked one time, and the young man introduced me to an older man that worked there, and we shook hands, and he must have told the man that he could trust me. So, and I do not remember the man's name. I couldn't remember the man's name. If you put a laser gun to my head, I couldn't remember the man's name. But here's what he said. He said that he was a hacker, and he's hacked into some pretty serious places. At times, it's got him in a little trouble. And he said he found a back door to a DOD server. And so he said, I went fishing around to see what was there. Now, mind you, I had never heard of Project Clementine. And he said that he got into a database of photographs from Project Clementine. And I said, what was that? And he said they took high-resolution photographs of the moon just like they do here of the Earth. You know, if you put a dime out on the street, you know, the NSA can tell you whether it's heads up, heads down what year it was made and your thumbprint on it. And he said, I saw things on the moon, buildings and structures. And I went. He said, you can believe me if you want. But he said, I covered my tracks. He said, I went through at least 6 different nodes, some of them even Russia, to hide my, and back in the 90s, I'd never heard of anything, you know, how do you hide your, back then it was dial-up internet. And he said, I thought I hit it pretty well, but he said, a week later, I got a knock on my door, and these guys in a suit carrying a sidearm, they said, we want your computer, we want any computer you have, any disks you have, any files you have, and we're going to have a serious talk. So he said that he didn't have the photographs. I don't know if I believe him. Now, again, I can't tell you that that is true. What I can tell you is, from what I see in the scriptures, it's possible. I have never been a big fan of structures on the moon, structures on Mars. I've seen Richard Hoagland's thing, but I've also seen other photographs, and I'm going, okay, so maybe there really is nothing there. I can't tell you whether there's something there or not, but what I can tell you is, I believe, according to scripture, that it's possible. In fact, there's Project Clementine there. You can do some research, and I promise you, you're going to see a lot of YouTube videos. If you go to type in Project Clementine bases on the moon photographs, you're going to see some of the fuzziest, blurriest images in the world. And some guy's going to take a crayon and say, see, that's a UFO base. And I'm going, it's a gray, it looks like an ultrasound to me. I can never tell what that is in an ultrasound. Okay? But anyway, astronaut Edgar Mitchell, you heard of him? Here's what he said. There have been craft that have been recovered. There's been a certain amount of reverse engineering that has allowed some of these craft or some components to be duplicated, and there are those who are utilizing some of this equipment in certain ways, and perhaps a large part of the activity that's classified as UFO activity may very well not be due to ET activity at all. Now, this is not an alleged quote from Edgar Mitchell. This is him saying it in front of a camera. He said, if there are ETs at all, I do not see anything that suggests really malevolent intent or hostile intent. He has believed a lie. He says that the intent from these beings is not evil, it's not malevolent. The Bible says otherwise. Can I get an amen out of God's people? He said there is smoking gun evidence that has not or cannot be brought forward at this point. You can find that video, Serious Disclosure Interview, on YouTube. Astronaut Gordon Cooper, he said they, meaning the ETs, are the same as we are, just a little higher and a little farther and a little faster. They can come and land in my backyard anytime they want to come and land in my backyard. I'd welcome them. And on this website, Gordon Cooper says it. He says that back in the days when he was a test pilot, he had top secret clearance. And he was, because he was driving some planes that they didn't want Russia to know about, didn't want the Chinese to know about. So he had top secret clearance. They had a film crew just happened to be there while they were testing out some of this equipment. Cooper was on the ground. He said, this craft landed, 3 little legs came down, landed there in the desert. The film crew immediately goes, and they zoomed in on it. These aliens come off of the ship. The film crew is filming it. They saw these guys. They went back on the ship, and it took off. Cooper then took the film, had it processed. He made his mistake was he made a phone call. And so the next day, when the film comes back from the lab, Cooper's got it up like this. His phone rings, and there's some guy way up high from him that says, you got the film? And he said, yeah. He said, we want it. He said, there's a guy waiting at your door right now. And of course, knock on the door. There was a courier there to take that film immediately, and he said, I've never seen it since. But that was his testimony in front of a camera. These astronauts, Gordon Cooper, Deke Slayton, Robert White, Ed White, James McDivitt, Jim Lovell, Frank Borman, Scott Carpenter. These guys were my heroes. When I was growing up, I wanted to go to space. The good news is I'm going to one of these days. Some people think I'm already there. That's where my heart is, amen? But I wanted to be these guys. I idolized these guys. These guys all said that when they got out there, they saw things. You've seen NASA footage, Columbia or space shuttle missions, ISS missions. All of a sudden, you're watching the ISS live feed. All of a sudden, something appears on camera that shouldn't be, and they cut the feed saying, we're having technical difficulties. Really? There's things out there. Bob Lazar. Now, I can't tell you that everything that Robert Lazar said is true. There are some things that just don't quite add up. But back in 1989, Robert Lazar contacted Las Vegas reporter George Knapp. He worked for a local TV station there. And he said, I got a story to tell you. George Knapp talked to him, interviewed him live on camera. But at the time, Bob Lazar was silhouetted so you couldn't see his face. He said his name was Dennis. He said he worked out. This is 1989 now. Prior to 1989, nobody, and I mean nobody, outside of Ellis Air Force Base or Nellis Air Force Base had ever heard of Area 51 or S4. No one had heard of these places. Bob Lazar comes out and says, yeah, I work at a place just outside of Area 51 called S4. He said, I'm a physicist, and I was hired by such and such company to go in, and we are reverse engineering alien craft. We are trying to figure out how they fly. We're trying to figure out what they do. That's what Lazar did. This is a mock-up that he made. He called this one the sports model. He said they had 9 ET craft, that everything is compartmentalized. He said, I don't know about any of the other craft. I don't know anything about alien bodies, but I know the craft. To this day, he can sit and draw out the specifications. He can give details. He can say things, and a lot of these things are backed up. He started talking about a certain element that up until recently had not even been discovered or put out in the mainstream. It just so happens that this particular element that he talks about now is real. There's supposedly a copy of his security card clearance, his key card. There's a copy of one of his W-2s from work. This is his rendering of S4. He said it looks like, if you were to look at it from like a satellite or from a few miles away, it's in the side of a mountain, you would never know it was there until you got up close to it. So my question is it possible? Is it possible that technology can be passed along to man to build machines? Let me ask you, do you think that's possible? That technology can come from, let's say, an alien source, alien meaning not from Earth, and that technology can be passed down to man. Noah, who built a boat before Noah? Nobody. It had never rained. God gave, if you read Genesis 6, God gave Noah the precise, he gave him a set of blueprints and said, build this. And Noah built it. Moses. How did Moses know how to build the Ark of the Covenant, Table of Shewbread, the candlestick? How did he know what number of boards to put down each side of the tabernacle? How did he know how to make the curtain? How did Moses know all of this? Number one, God gave him the precise, if you read the scriptures, you'll see, even the details of each and every ring that held the curtains onto the rods. God gave Moses those precise instructions. In fact, God took it one step further. Apparently, at some time, God let Moses see the one that was in heaven, and he said, see, thou build it exactly the way I showed it to you. Think about this. Satan entered Judas, and everything that Judas Iscariot did from that point forward was directed by Satan himself. God allowed it. An evil spirit entered Saul, and he all of a sudden now he wants to kill David. I testified yesterday, the children at the Ariel Elementary School said that when the aliens made eye contact with them, they put telepathic ideas into their minds. Is that possible? I believe from the scriptures, yes. Ecclesiastes, look at the Bible. Ecclesiastes 7, I had applied mine heart to know and to search out and to seek out wisdom. So Solomon said, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And that chapter just happens to be the 666th chapter of the Bible. I need a machine that goes, dun, dun, dun. That'd be great if I had that up here. Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Genesis 6, here's God giving Moses the instructions to make the ark, the boat. He told him 300 cubits, told him 50 cubits by 30 cubits, told him how many windows to put in, how many floors to put in, to put in a door. The instructions for the ark of the covenant. God said, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So we have testimony of God giving man technology that man did not have. God even told Moses the exact numbers of flowers and buds to put in each candle of the candlestick. There are 66 of them exactly. Do you know why? Because the light that we're supposed to have comes from this book right here. Somebody say amen. So I believe God gave man technology. Does anybody know who this guy is? I thought it was Robert Redford. No? Okay. Robert Redford played Tesla. No, he didn't. That's Tesla. Tesla came up with some weird stuff, didn't he? Tesla was competing all the time with Thomas Edison. In fact, you have alternating current in your house because Edison won. Tesla wanted direct current in everybody's house. For some reason, we're using alternating current. I don't like current of any kind. I'm sorry, I just don't like it. But Tesla came up with some stuff that was pretty out of this world. And according to Tesla himself, here's what happened. Tesla at one point was developing a powerful radio antenna designed to monitor thunderstorms in the Earth's skies. While testing the device, the author claims in an interview that Tesla overheard radio transmissions he believed were actually extraterrestrial communications. He said he wondered at one time if he wasn't listening, one planet greeting another, as he put it. From that point on, it became somewhat of an obsession of his to build better and better radio receivers to try to see if he could repeat what he heard. He got to the point where he claimed that he was actually receiving voice transmissions. He said it sounded just like people talking back and forth to each other. He made notes saying that he was actually hearing intelligent beings from another planet talking to each other, although he didn't know what language they were speaking. Did you know that that exact statement is in your Bible? In Deuteronomy 28, God told Israel, and he said, if you don't start doing what I say, I'm going to send a nation to you from afar, from the end of heaven. He said, it's going to be a nation I can't remember the words he said, but he said, a nation whose language thou shalt not understand. Okay? How many reports of aliens coming here where people saw hieroglyphics, people heard them speak in a language that nobody knew? And how is that? How is it possible in today's world that somebody can speak a language that nobody knows? We have Google Translate. We have people all over the world now because of connectivity. People can translate just about any language that there is on this earth. How is it they're going to speak a language that nobody knows? You ever seen the movie Contact? Contact is about this. It's about us calling to the stars. That is science fact. We sent the Voyager out with all the information that any race would need to find planet Earth. And we sent a phonograph recording with a phonograph player, because we don't think aliens have a record player. So we sent a phonograph player with a phonograph, a gold one, with recordings of human speech and greetings and all these languages, with a sort of a picture of what humans look like, with our hands raised like this saying, hi ET, come to Earth, we want you here. We send out radio signals all the time. And so what happened was, Carl Sagan wrote this, the movie Contact was about the aliens got our very first transmission to space. Do you know what that was? It was Hitler sending his opening statement of the, what was it, 1930 whatever Olympic Games. Very first signal beamed into space. So in the movie Contact, E.T. sends that signal back. And of course, everybody's freaking out because they see Hitler and they see the swastika there. Then they find out that hidden inside that signal that was sent back was detailed plans on how to build a machine that would transport somebody from our world to theirs all the way across the universe. Sagan wrote that. A physicist, a scientist. This is not science fiction. Fact, Hitler. Do you believe Hitler had access to technology that was not coming from an earthly source? The Thule Society, named after a place called Ultima Thule. What that means is Hyperborea or Arcturus or the land at the North Pole. But there isn't a land at the North Pole. There is no country at the North Pole. So they believed in a superior race that lived in the North. We saw, did you study the North yesterday after I talked? You didn't do your homework? All right, you're all going to have to stay after today. You should have studied the North in the Bible, because if you would have studied it, you would find out that there is a race of people that live in the North. The Northern Army, God called it. And I don't think it's the Canadians. I don't think it. In fact, if you go to Argentina, every country in the world is North. So what was he talking about? But that's who Ultima Thule is. It refers to the very last place that you could go to, a place in the North. And the Thule Society was in contact with beings from the North that were giving them technology. And Hitler was making saucer-shaped machines. So, Operation Paperclip. What was that? The newly formed CIA goes and gets all of these German scientists, including Wernher von Braun. Wernher von Braun is the father of NASA, essentially. He's the guy credited with building the Mercury program, the Gemini program, that Saturn V rocket that sent those guys to the moon and back. That was von Braun. Von Braun was a German scientist working on secret projects for Adolf Hitler. The CIA went and made him a deal saying, you could stay here and die for war crimes, or you can come to America and live and we'll pay you good. And that's what he did. But there were some other scientists that came over with him. There's been a lot of things said about that. Romans chapter 1, there's a list. And at the end of Romans chapter 1 of things that if you do them, you get the death penalty. Some of those things are debate and deceit, murder, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. And look at here, the inventors of evil things. Do you think that there are things that are on this earth now that people have invented that are nothing but pure evil? About half the websites out there. Psalm 106, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. And so what happened is, in verse 28, they joined themselves also unto Baal. Who's Baal? Notice the language of your Bible. They joined themselves to Baal. That's the meaning of the square and the compass. That's the meaning of Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So they joined themselves to Baal and made sacrifices to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 106, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Verse 39, thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Now I believe the words of the Bible. And I believe they mean what the Bible says they mean. I believe they mean what they mean. They went a-whoring. God said they went whoring after stocks. What that means is a stock is a stick. It's a stock of wood that they carved into an idol. And they whored with that idol. You see, that's bizarre. Nobody does that nowadays. One of the fastest growing areas of robotics is in making surrogate lovers. There are brothels all over the world who have the latest in technology for people to go in and visit. And I don't talk about this much. I try to keep everything PG rated. But one news article I read said that people who go to these places actually prefer the surrogate opposed to the real thing. So is this Bible right? Are people whoring with their own inventions? Literally. Literally. And remember, everything in the Bible is prophetic. Deuteronomy 18, God said, when thou art come into the land of which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. That land that they were going into, who lived there? Who was already living there when Israel got there? Giants. The whole land was full of giants. And they had technology to put the foundation stones at Baalbek, these 60, 100 ton stone blocks in place to build the walls of Baalbek. And the Romans showed up and said, why don't we finish the wall with stones this big? Nobody knows how they moved or even carved those stones. They had inventions there that God said, I don't want you to learn their stuff. So in Psalm 106, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. What did they learn there? They learned, and if you go back to Deuteronomy, he gives a whole list of things. Divination, observer of times, an enchanter, a witch, a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard. Consulter of familiar spirits is somebody who says they're in contact with E.T. And I have tons of information on people who said, I talked to the aliens. That was a familiar spirit. And God said, don't do it. And they learned their works. What was magic 100 years ago? It's technology now. Have you not ever thought about, what if I could take my iPhone back to the 1850s and show everybody my iPhone? They would say, you're practicing magic. It's not magic. It's AT&T. But that's what I'm saying. The magic back in those days is now technology, and the magic now will be the technology of the future. What you say is magic now and can only be done with help of aliens, entities that are not from this world, that's the technology of the future. This guy, Captain Bill Uhouse, worked at an Air Force base. He said they claims that ETs have assisted the U.S. government in building, and his quote was 2 or 3 dozen vehicles. Now, again, this is not a quote on a website. This is him in front of a camera saying these words. Retired U.S. military officer. Psalm 82:6. I have said, ye are gods, all of you. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Is that it? So I told you last night. Is it possible? I wasn't at Roswell, wasn't even born. The story is Roswell, Aztec, New Mexico, other places. There was an event, I think, in Peru where alien craft crashed. And the occupants of the ship were killed. And the U.S. military went in, got the craft, got the pieces, and got the aliens' bodies. And I've known about this for years. I've read the stories, I've read the books and things like that. I would not talk about them. I would not discuss them. It's not because I'm afraid. I didn't know if they could be telling the truth or not. And anybody could say, yeah, I used to work at like an underground base, and there was aliens there, and they took me up in their ship. Now, I've read stories from people who said that they rode in alien ships, and I've also seen that those people have been proven to be frauds. So people lie about stuff like this. I get it. And so I wouldn't talk about it. I would not say a word about it until a week ago last Thursday night. Because I'm asking God, I got to know if this is true. I got to go to Fargo and tell these people something, and I don't want to tell them a lie. So I wasn't at Roswell. I have not been to any military base. Nobody has come to me and said, Pastor, here's a thumb drive with pictures and videos and detailed blueprints. I used to work at these bases, and I had the stuff on them. The government's chasing me. I could end up dead. So, Pastor, I want you to have this. That's never happened. I've not had any contact from anybody ever about anything. I'm making that known. And even if I, like the guy I told you about that said he got pictures from Project Clementine. I don't know if the guy's telling me the truth, but I'd never heard of Project Clementine then. And it turns out to be a real thing. So I don't know. So I asked the highest source that I could go to. His name is the Most High God. And I said, God, I want to be able to tell the truth. And the Holy Ghost spoke this verse to my soul. I didn't hear it here. I heard it here. And this passage actually proves that the sons of God in Genesis 6 were spirits. Psalm 82:6, open your Bible to this passage. Open it up. I want you to underline it. Make your notes. Put question marks there and say, Mike said this. And then you go ask God if even what I said is the truth. Concerning the phrase sons of God, we know that the book of Job says in three places what the sons of God are. How many witnesses do we need in the Bible in order to believe something? Two or three. So you have three in Job alone. Job chapter 1, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also. Job chapter 2, the exact same thing. Sons of God came to present themselves. Satan came also. And then later on, I think it's Job 38. Job 39, somewhere around in there. God said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Job, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So right there in that verse, it tells you that the morning stars are the sons of God. That is enough for me. But then here in Psalm 82, Jesus actually quoted this verse. He quoted it. He said, doth not the scripture say, have you not read in the scriptures? I have said, ye are gods. I am not a god. Not in this body. Do we not believe that in the resurrection we will be as the angels in heaven? Is that not what the scripture says? Does not Paul say that ye are all lights shining in a dark world? Do we not believe that heaven will be our home? Do we not believe that God's going to kick out a third of the inhabitants of the heaven and we get to go live in their house? Just like Israel did in Canaan land. God expelled the inhabitants of the land and Israel came and moved it. They didn't have to build cities. They were already there. That's what the scripture tells us. So the gods are, you study the word gods, little g, gods, in the Bible. They are spirits. Spirits, angels, devils, evil angels. These are all the terms the Bible used to describe the same thing. In one verse, God, the word, the Bible says gods and devils, and it links them together. I've said you're gods, and all of you are children of who? Children of the Most High. So that answers to me. I'm done. I believe that the sons of God in Genesis 6 were gods. Little g. I believe it with all my heart. I'm not changing my mind. So, but then in verse 7, God said, but ye shall die like men. Holy Ghost said that verse to me and I went, I believe it now. I believe that these gods, according to Jude, left their first estate. They should have stayed where they were, but they didn't. And look what it says after that, and fall like one of the, what's that word? Princes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. First thing he said, a prince is a spirit, an evil angel. Michael is the prince of Israel. There is a prince of the people of Persia. In Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel spoke about the prince of Tyrus In fact, that's the next verse. Look at Ezekiel 28:2. So, but let me get back to Psalm 82. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. What happened to the alien craft that was making all these wild maneuvers in the sky, and all of a sudden, what happened to it? These ships defy gravity, but something happened, and this thing no longer defied gravity. And when you can't defy gravity anymore, what happens to you? You fall. And that's what I believe could very well have happened. So I can say, I believe the Word of God above everything. And if I hear credible stories from people who say, I saw the ships, I saw the bodies, I was there, I was doing security, I was doing maintenance, I was this, I was that, I can't say, oh, these people are all lying. That's not even possible. I can say, you know what? I think I believe you, according to Scripture. But then Ezekiel 28:2, Son of man, said unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God. Later on, do you know who the prince of Tyrus is? The anointed cherub that covereth. The Bible's telling you who this is. I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a what? Man, see, it didn't make sense before last Thursday night at 1 a.m. Now it makes sense. And not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Ezekiel 28:7, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. See, there is no other place in the Scripture that indicates to us that angels have mortality. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that when we leave this earth, we're going from mortality to immortality. The beings up there have immortality built into them. We have mortality built into us. So do you know what's going to happen? We're going to trade places with them. Woo! They're coming down. We're going up. Amen. I will bring strangers upon thee, and they shall bring thee down to the pit. Notice Isaiah 14. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And who's he talking to? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So let's count this. Psalm 82, 6 and 7, Ezekiel 28, 2, Ezekiel 28, 7 and 8, and Isaiah 14. Is that two or three witnesses? Is that enough to convince you that yes, it is possible that these men, and there are dozens of men now, not just, and I have a secret source from inside the Department of Defense that told me that he saw the alien bodies. I can write that. And you know what? In today's world, I can write that and I can make that YouTube video and I'll get a million hits. And it'll be a lie. Because I don't know nobody that works in the Pentagon. I don't know nobody in DOD that saw an alien body. I can make that up and I can be a YouTube star. I don't want to be. I want to tell the truth. So what I can tell you is, according to the testimony of the Word of God, I believe it's possible that this has happened. So here we get back to this question. Yes, there are a lot of stupid people on the internet who make stuff up. Amen? This afternoon, I'm going to tell you about how people are deceived, because I have a friend of mine, and he's still my friend, and I've not spoken to him in months because I'm ticked off at him. I love him. We were buds. We talked about the King James Bible. We talked about how these cults are wrong and these churches are going bad. I get a call from somebody else telling me, yeah, there's a guy at your church that I called there one day, and there's a guy at your church telling me that the earth is flat. And I went, you're lying to me. And he gave me the name. And I texted the guy while I'm talking to this other guy on the phone. And I said, there's a guy on the phone with me right now saying that you told him the earth is flat. And you know what he wrote back? I have serious questions. And my heart sank. So what I did was I sent him pictures. In 1947, when we went and invaded Germany, we captured all of Hitler's V-2 rockets, the ones he had planned to launch toward London. And they were full of bombs. And so the American government brought them over here. We unscrewed the cap, pulled the bombs out, and they stuck cameras in them. And for the very first time in human history, we were able to see the shape of the earth from above. And there are pictures on the internet, and these are real photographs, not Photoshop, photograph. And there is a trail that goes all the way back to 1947 of where these photographs came from. There was no Photoshop in 1947. And they stuck cameras in these ships and they took photographs of the curvature of the earth for the very first time. And I sent those pictures to him and I said, tell me, are these photos real or not? And he said, I don't know. And I said, come on, you're a scientist. And he said, well, that's not proof. Photographs are not proof. I said, yes, they are. Part of the scientific process is observation. And what happened to him is he has decided to believe something that is not true. And let me tell you, so I asked God that question too. I said, God, how can a man who's trained to be critical accept something that is a lie? Some of the best scientists in the world are Jesuit priests. How is it that they believe the lies that they're told? The lies that they believe are not here. They're here. Because with the heart, man believeth into righteousness. You can believe in your mind that God exists, but die and go to hell. You must believe it with your heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this afternoon, I'm going to show you how people are deceived. And I hope and pray you're not one of them. Okay? I didn't get to the owls. The owls, that's some really good stuff. But I'll just say this. What does that look like? What does that look like? People who made the movie The Fourth Kind. Let me show you this very quickly. Very quickly. I started researching movies. All this is, I don't have it on video yet, but I will have it. If you go to our table and say, we want the UFO videos, give them your name and address, and when I get them done, we'll send them to you. Or they'll be on YouTube. Let me show you this. Oh, there's Aleister Crowley's drawing of the alien that he was in contact with. Now, on his drawing, their eyes were little, but notice a guy did like a reverse thing on the picture. You can see the owl eyes silhouetted. That's the Shroud of Turin. Dun, dun, dun. Okay? That's the movie Pinocchio. Right before this glowing orb comes down from the skies and gives life to a dead image. Where'd you read that before? Revelation 13. They focus on this clock, this owl clock with time ticking. In the movie Fire from the Sky about Travis Walton, the very first scene is the guys are coming in after Travis has been abducted, and they come running, crying like babies, into this tavern, and the movie shows you this image before they telling their story. The movie Contact, which I mentioned a while ago, the very beginning of the movie, the scientist is a little girl, and she says, Daddy, do you think there are people on other planets? Do you see it? You see it now? Okay. Hedwig in Harry Potter, you know what Hedwig does? He delivers the mail. He's a messenger. Study owls in the Bible. Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34, and in the Levitical law, God calls them abominations. Why does God call owls, four different species of owls, why does God call them an abomination? And why does God say when all the men are gone, that's where the owls and the dragons show up. Why did Job say, I'm a brother to dragons and a companion to owls? You study those things, and when I get this series done, you'll know the answers from the scriptures. But that's my thing on owls, all right? If you have any questions, write them down, give them to Tim Rubis, and maybe I can try to answer them tomorrow. Tim, come on up. I'm voluntarily yielding the podium to you.